If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hey, Reggie, how you doing, my friend?
Let's get this microphone. Constant battle. I realize these are first world problems, but why is it always changed? Okay. All right. Let's get rid of all the little distractions and concentrate on a little podcast here. What do you say, Reg? Good. All right. Are you set? Hey. As I said, your job is easier now without the music behind you. Just hit one button. Man, did they give you a pay decrease? Well, good. At least they didn't. But you're only just hitting one button now. You said hit two. I mean, I know that was like climbing Mount Everest, but now you're just climbing a molehill. but it's a key molehill. You got to hit that button because we don't want to miss. When I start to really do the show here, we don't want to miss a thing. So you hitting that record button after I say 3, 2, 1, that is the key. As much as all this blather is important, if you don't hit that record button, it's nothing. It's just me talking to myself, even though sometimes it feels like I'm talking to myself anyway. But anyway, so are you ready? Good. Okay, here we go. Three S's, star, smile, strong. Okay, get ready for that big button hit. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, it's always important to listen, certainly, but almost as important to get out there and tell your friends, tell your family, and spread the word. Anyone that you know who listens to a podcast, you tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. That loyalty and the devotion that you show, they're much appreciated. Of course, if you enjoy what you hear, whether you're an old fan or a new fan, been around for almost 10 years now, or maybe you've been around for 10 minutes, whatever the case may be, if you want to hear some past podcasts, you go to WGNRadio.com, you hit the podcast prompt, then you go into the actual section, and there's a prompt for this specific podcast. You hit that, and then beware. Brace yourself, because you will be inundated with podcast after podcast after podcast going back several years, maybe not all the way down back to 10, which that we've been almost doing now. In May of next year, we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary, but there sure are a lot of them. So if you want to find out where we're going, you might want to find out where we've been. So just scroll down and load more and have some fun. You've been doing this now, as I said, for almost 10 years and almost 500 podcast episodes. We're getting close, folks. This is episode 493. So, I bet you heard this story, and the key word there is bet. Wow, did you hear the explosive news that was announced a week and a half or so ago? A major FBI investigation into illegal gambling involving several high-profile NBA players, as well as, wow, it's almost sounding like a cool episode of The Sopranos. And for some people, you may need to Google that. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. It's been like 25 years since The Sopranos were first on. I think The Sopranos actually debuted in 1999. So it's been more than 25 years ago that The Sopranos was on. I mean, for many of us, we say, oh, yeah, The Sopranos, great show. But, you know, once again, you have to realize that now there's a whole generation that might as well be 500 years ago. A lot of people were not born when that show began. I think it was 99. And if I remember correctly, it was like sometime in maybe 2007. It wasn't even on for 10 years. But yeah, 99. So, I mean, it's been more than 25 years. There's a whole generation that only knows The Sopranos through history, not through experiencing it. But I just bring this up because not only was there involvement with some NBA players, allegedly, of course, this is all alleged. We must mention that, innocent until proven guilty. But the FBI and the government certainly feels very confident in the case and the investigation that they have put together and the charges that they brought forth. But still, we have to wait to see due process. So this is all alleged. But not only did this involve some high profile NBA coaches and players over the last, I think 2019 is when some of these initial investigation started. So this was a while ago. This is not just something that popped up in the last 6 months. This has been going on for many years, apparently, throughout in the FBI. It's come to fruition right now. But as I said, not only involving some high-profile NBA players and coaches who allegedly may have, once again, we have to be careful, we have to be fair, passed along information that was non-public about players that might have been sick one day, or a player's ankle hurts, or a member of this person's family just passed away. And so these things, or you know what, they haven't announced it yet, but this player is not going to play tonight. Well, that's all that kind of information, all those, that unpublic knowledge, if you will, that non-public knowledge, well, that certainly can play a role if you're placing a bet. And in today's world, to place a bet on any sports team is as easy as ordering on Amazon, if not easier. I mean, as I've said on this podcast many times, there are not many vices left that we have not legalized. The big one so far, and it might as well be, given when you go on the internet or if you go on social media, the only main vice that we have not legalized at this point is prostitution. It's practically there. You can see porn and other things online. You can go on these websites and hook up with people. So how is that not? We're still clinging to the last Puritan, the last Puritan construct, if you will, or whatever you want to call it, that remains in our United States DNA. We've been able to get rid of the marijuana legalization. We've been able to get rid of the gambling now. I mean, at one time, sad as it sounds, homosexuality was illegal. Now, that one needed to be changed. But my point is, the vice squad, if you will, there used to be, I don't even know if a vice squad exists anymore in our policing structure, because what was considered vice at one time, these were these immoral, supposedly immoral things. Once again, you have to remember, this country was founded on religious freedom, but founded by very religious people, the Puritans. They left they left England to come here because of religious persecution and persecution, both probably. That's how this country started. When you talk about the pilgrims, the term pilgrim, when we think of pilgrims, we think of these women with the bonnets on and the guys with the nice big hats and the buckled shoes and the white socks, and they all look, stately. But think about the word pilgrim. A lot of times you hear the word pilgrim associated with, correctly, those that go to perhaps religious sites, or those who go to places where supposed miracles have happened. Those are called pilgrims. This country was founded by pilgrims. They left England because they were being persecuted for their religion, and they didn't have religious rights, and they wanted to come somewhere where they could practice their religion without, government or even societal intervention. So we still, as I say, we cling to many of these Puritan constructs and these beliefs because it's embedded in our country. But over the last almost now 250 years, we have slowly moved away from those, but they're still there. And as I said, so gambling, all these major, vices, once again, in quotes, that would be immoral according to a very strict religious code of which this country was founded on by those pilgrims. So obviously, gambling, infidelity, at that time, homosexuality, prostitution, all these things, those were against the law. Vice squads used to, go into, gay bars and arrest people because they were homosexual. Obviously, drug raids are still going on. We've changed, we've legalized marijuana, but there's still drug raids for stronger, more dangerous drugs like, heroin, cocaine. But my point is, we, as our religious affiliations have lessened, as our morality has softened in terms of strict, constructs, I keep using that word, I'm sorry, but, strict tenets of what is right and what is wrong. Today's world is very gray area. In fact, in some people's minds, there should be no laws. Defund the police, right? So we have definitely softened in our religious affiliations, in our strong, hard line morality views, and we have softened so much that at one point things that were illegal that could get you sent to jail are now completely legal, or they certainly in many cases have been, the punishment has been relegated to a slap on the wrist. So as I said, gambling now legal, marijuana now legal. The last biggie is prostitution, and it might as well be. As I said, if you go on social media, how is it not? But we haven't officially put that on the books yet. As I said, I don't even know if there is a vice squad anymore that goes out and tries to find these things. But here's the other side of the coin. Vice is still happening. It's human behavior. You can't get rid of it. And so here was this huge, huge kind of blockbuster announcement that certainly puts a tarnished mark on the NBA, but certainly must, or better, put all professional sports or college sports or any sports on notice that there now is a question about integrity. The key to any sporting event is the integrity, that this is, in fact, a fair game, that we've got two people, individuals perhaps, or two teams that are competing against one another, and both are all in. They are focused to win. There isn't anybody that's laying down for any outside reason, especially if somebody's being paid to not perform, the basics of professional or college sports or any competitive sports is that what we're seeing is legit. And this new scandal, and this is certainly not the first time that sports and gambling have been connected, almost probably back in the prehistoric days when somebody first threw a rock or kicked something, somebody probably bet he couldn't do it again. I mean, sports has probably been, and gambling have probably been tied together since the caveman days. If any kind of rudimentary sport was played by the cavemen, I guarantee you there was someone on the side who wasn't playing who was betting he couldn't do it again. I'll bet you three arrowheads, that he can't do that again. Okay. And then they go up to that guy and they say, hey, I'll give you an arrowhead if you don't do it again, because I got to bet with this guy for three arrowheads. Yeah, okay, I'll take an arrowhead. And here we go. So I would say that gambling in sports has been around since man crawled out of the ooze. Now, we don't want to always admit that. We don't like to hear bad news on anything, right? Oh, I don't want to hear about that. I mean, I know what's going on, but don't tell me. I don't know what that represents. I think that is such a crazy mindset, as if you don't know about it. It's not happening. I think it's dangerous. I think it's immature. No, you know, as I've said on this podcast many times, reality is something that we have to face, and this is a reality. Gambling and sports have been tied together, as I said, since prehistoric times, I would venture to say. And this new scandal is shining a light, showing that as much as we're not hearing about it anymore, as much as now we're accepting gambling as a normal thing, as a part of our community, as a part of our society, we have condoned it now. We have said it's okay. At one time, we were saying it was wrong. It was illegal. You went to jail. It was breaking up people's families. It was destroying people's lives. And you know what? It's still doing that. The only difference is that we don't want to know about that because we are having fun doing it. We are a very flawed race of beings, of animals, of members of this ecosystem. We are very flawed. We don't make any sense. We are the most illogical. We have a brain that can be logical, and yet we act illogically all the time. Collectively, I'm not saying each individual, but collectively, if we were to look at human behavior, it follows no rational through line. The only constant in human activity, human decisions, human logic, human behavior is that it has no logic. We are superstitious. We don't want to hear bad news. It doesn't do you, it hurts you more than helps you. As much as you think that may help you, facing reality helps you solve problems. And we have not faced, in terms of gambling, the real realities of this. Now it's fun. Now it's gambling is a sport among itself, even though it's betting on sports. And as I said, this is nothing new. We've had scandals. Of course, one of the biggest sports betting scandals in history involves a Chicago team, the Chicago White Sox, the 1919 Chicago White Sox, who were banned, who they were in cahoots with gamblers. Several key players on the White Sox team took money to throw their series to not play as well as they should. The infamous or famous Shoeless Joe Jackson, of course, is someone who's one of the prime names associated with that, because even though he was one of the best players in baseball at the time, even though he reportedly, from all indications, did take money from the gamblers, the other side of the coin was that when you look at his statistics during that World Series that the White Sox lost, or the so-called Black Sox, because they put a black mark on baseball, Shoeless Joe had a very good batting average. He took the money, but there seemed to have been a crisis of conscience, and he took the money, and yet he didn't perform below or subpar. He continued. He hit over 300, I believe, in the series, and other key statistical areas. So there's always been a move, even though Joe Jackson, as part of the Black Sox team, was banned for life. There's always been a move that Joe Jackson, one of the greatest players of all time, really should be allowed to go into the Hall of Fame and should not. I mean, now he is not banned from baseball. I mean, it was a lifetime ban. He's been dead for decades. They just made that, designation along with Pete Rose, since he passed away. But now the question is, will Shoeless Joe get involved or get inducted into the Hall of Fame now that baseball has lifted its lifetime ban? But my point is, this has been going on in sports for a long time. We either didn't want to admit it, it was our dirty little secret. And now we've put our dirty little secret out into the open. Now gambling on everything. About a month or so ago on the NFL Today, CBS brought Brent Musburger back, who was one of the leading football broadcasters. He started here in Chicago, Channel 2. I think he went to Northwestern. He became a huge network anchor for sports. Helped define the NFL Today pregame shows in the early 70s, and also was a play-by-play announcer and things like that, one of the best in the business. And they brought him back, and they did kind of a retro throwback NFL Today show. And one of the key aspects of the NFL Today show in the 70s and early 80s was the regular segment that Brent Musburger did with a known Las Vegas gambler and odds maker named Jimmy the Greek Snyder. And this was fairly revolutionary because illegal bookies and gamblers would use the official line in Las Vegas. Don't forget, you could always bet in Las Vegas. That was this little weird little, once again, okay, well, we need some vice, so let's just have it in one state. And it was that way for decades until finally said, well, other states were going, well, how come they get to have gambling and we don't? So all of a sudden, New Jersey had Atlantic City. And then pretty soon it was everybody, especially governments looking for any kind of revenue, said, hey, we're losing out here. Meanwhile, organized crime, because like everything else, whatever the law in the past had prohibited people from doing, whatever vices, once again, that key word, whatever vices that our puritanical society here in the United States had forbidden, that's how organized crime made their billions, whether it was during Prohibition the alcoholism, once again, alcohol was stopped because of the temperance movement of religious people, mainly women, who were like, hey, the alcohol is destroying our society, our families. Husbands are getting drunk. They're being abusive. They're leaving home. They're not going to work. The prohibition making alcohol illegal in this country was religious based. alcohol was viewed as a vice, just like drugs, just like gambling, just like prostitution. Same thing. And that's where organized crime made their mark in this country. Whenever the country made laws against things that people wanted to do, but the religion that they follow told them not to, and they were still doing it anyway. This country was based on hypocrisy, let's be honest, and we're still filled with hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle. And so once again, it's this, well, I know what's going on, but I don't want to know about it. And all these facades we've put on, and like I said, human behavior is so silly. It's so ridiculous. We act like as if we've got everything, figured out. Anybody who's got it all figured out is probably a fool, okay? Nobody's got it figured out. Nobody knows all the answers. And it takes a big person to say, I don't know. We all want to say we know. It takes a smart person to say, I don't know, because we don't. And so here we are now with a new scandal. As I said, Pete Rose back in the 90s was banned from baseball for supposedly betting on baseball. That's been, a controversy now that he passed away. We'll see if he gets into the Hall of Fame. His lifetime ban was lifted. If you ever saw the film The Goodfellas, you know that Henry Hill, who was the main protagonist in that, played by Ray Liotta. Interestingly enough, Ray Liotta played two people in movies who were both accused of gambling. He played Shoeless Joe, if you remember, if you saw Field of Dreams, Ray Liotta played Shoeless Joe Jackson, who, of course, was banned from baseball as part of the Black Sox team. I mean, that White Sox uniform that Shoeless Joe is wearing, that's the 1919 White Sox jersey. Okay, so he plays Shoeless Joe in Field of Dreams in like 1989. And then a couple of years later, he's playing Henry Hill, a convicted gambler and organized crime figure, and basically Henry Hill admitted, both in the film and in real life, he's a real guy, that they were fixing basketball games, pro and a lot of college, especially back then, college kids. Organized crime guys would offer these college kids some money. They would lay down. They wouldn't score as much. They put bets on that game, and they'd make money. This has been going on forever, as I said earlier. And what's interesting now about this scandal was kind of two-pronged. And what was interesting about it was that not only was it two-pronged, but it actually had a couple of people involved in both angles, and they seemingly were not connected. Of course, there's always a dotted line somewhere, though. What made this scandal, this FBI investigation, and these charges such a blockbuster thing is that, A, nobody's surprised that gambling is going on in the NBA or that gambling is going on in this country. But what was surprising was at the level and the cooperation of some high-profile players and coaches. Now, Chauncey Billups is the coach of the Portland Trailblazers. He's a Hall of Famer. And he's actually been accused, allegedly, of being involved in both sides of this scandal. Of not only, allegedly, passing on some information to some gamblers, that maybe this player doesn't feel well, this player's going through a breakup with his girlfriend, he's got a cold today, his foot hurts, he might not play, well, that all helps in terms if you're going to bet a game. And the same thing is, I'm telling you now, not only was this point shaving and playing off players, he said that's been going on forever. What was interesting was the light that was shined on the organized crime aspect of this investigation was at least exposing to some people who may have had no idea. If you watch The Sopranos, that's why I mentioned it earlier. If you watch The Sopranos, you may remember some episodes where The Sopranos and all their, you know, organized crime cohorts, they would host poker parties. And these poker games would go all night. They would go for days. And basically, they were there to, you know, to make money from. They were not always on the level. And they would find people that were either degenerate gamblers or people with huge bankrolls who liked to play poker, and so they were holed up in hotel rooms or wherever, and these private games would go on. And there was always an insinuation on the Sopranos that these games were very tightly, organized, and they were not on the level. And these were major revenue making endeavors for organized crime. And now we're seeing that not only did we see that on The Sopranos, but now we're seeing it in real life and the extent by which they possibly have made these games rigged is mind-blowing if you're really not involved or aware of gambling at all. I have to tell you, I'm not a big gambler. I've told you that many times. When I was a young kid, my dad used to take me to Arlington Park here in the Chicago area, which now, of course, has been closed and could be the site for the next Bears stadium. But and my dad did like, and he wasn't a big gambler, but he liked to go to the track and things like that. And I went there with him, but I never was. I'm not a gambler like that. I still like to go to horse races because I love horses. I think they're just majestic, beautiful animals, and I love to go to the paddock and watch them. I would love to have had a horse. God, I go horseback riding. I'm not a big horseback rider, believe me. If I go on a vacation and there's some stables, I'll go on, horseback riding. I'm not galloping or anything like that. But I just love being around horses. I just think they're beautiful animals. And so I like to see them. And I know people think that horse racing is cruel to the animal and things like that. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, my point is, I go to the horse races to watch the races, to watch the horses. I don't bet. I do not bet. When I worked in public relations, I used to go to Las Vegas about four times a year, if not more, because of all the conventions there. And I was there for 3 or 4 days, and our hotel was connected to, had obviously every hotel has a casino. I never put down a quarter even in a slot machine. To get to your hotel room, you have to always walk through the casino, obviously. And I made that walk, and I never even put a dime or I never put a dollar on a roulette ball. I never put a quarter it's not my thing. It's just not my thing. I remember one time when I was in my early 20s, I may have been like 20 years old, and I was at a bachelor party for a family member. And I didn't really know it was going to be a future in-law, and I was invited. And so we were at this this little bar, and I mean, I know I was 20, but whatever. and so we went there, and I didn't really know a lot of the people. And so I was sitting there, and they behind the bar, they had a television, and they had a hockey game on, the Blackhawks game. Of course, back at this time, Blackhawks home games were not televised. So anytime you could watch a Blackhawk game, I've always been a hockey fan. So I'm watching the Blackhawk game, sitting at the bar, and one of my future in-laws' friends, comes up to me and sits down, and we're watching the game, and he says, he's an older guy, and he says, who you got? Now, older. I mean, he probably was 30 at the time, but to me, he was older. And he's like, so who do you got? And so I didn't even really understand the question. I mean, I was 20 years old. I mean, what? You, well, who do you got in the game? Who are you betting on? And I said, oh, no, I'm not betting on the game. I'm just watching it. And he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, well, wait, so you're watching a sport, but you don't have any money on it? Then why would you watch it? That was it was almost like, it was almost as if, he got up and was like, and walked away. And I could only imagine, like, who's this guy? This guy's over here watching sports because he likes to watch sports. He's not betting on the game. But that's just the way I am. I actually like sports. I appreciate the game. I don't need to have money on it to be interested. I don't need to be fantasy gamed. I don't need to make prop bets for the Super Bowl. Once again, if you do that, more power to you. That's your hobby. That's your interest. I respect that. But I'm just saying, it's not part of my reality at all. If I have an extra $30 or $40 or $50 or $100 to spend, there's a lot of other things I'd like to spend it on, that give me pleasure, that you would look at and say, "What the hell is that?" So everybody's different. I'm not condemning gambling or those who gamble. I think some people certainly can destroy their lives, can be very dangerous because it is an addiction. But, if you're a weekend gambler or something like that, hey, if that's what you're interested in, you know the risks going in. And now what's interesting is not only do you know the risks, but what this FBI investigation that was uncovered a week and a half or so ago, what it really just goes to show is that gambling and sports, not only do they go together now, but they are infiltrating each other. And as I said, when I'm talking about hypocrisy, the reason why this is very difficult now for all professional sports, as I said earlier, that's why every professional or college sport needs to be on, to be on alert. Because the integrity of your games are in question. If the NBA, one of the most lucrative and popular professional sports in the world, now has a question of legitimacy, that there are things going on within a game which these two teams are not both, everybody together are not trying to win, then that puts a stain on your game. Your game feels a little illegitimate. Now, as I said, we know, even though we don't want to admit it, in the back of everybody's mind who's watching this game, there's always conspiracy theories. Oh, this guy, that. Oh, the NBA or the last couple of years, the NFL wants the Kansas City Chiefs to win. The refs are helping the Chiefs, and the NFL has all these games scripted. I mean, there's always, we're hearing more of these conspiracy theories and these and the illegitimacies of sports. We're hearing more people talk about them or make accusations about them. I'll tell you why. Because more people are betting on these games now. And now more people are not only betting on these games, more people are losing money on these games. Before, the average person, I mean, once again, there's always been a segment of our society who are serious gamblers, who gamble every day, gamble every week. There's always been that segment. But then there's the rest of us. Who might get into a Super Bowl raffle or your squares, and oh, I've got 07, and you look at it like, well, oh, okay, here's $10 and I'll get a square. It makes it more interesting. And oh, look at, I won $250 and blah, blah, blah. And that's the way most people look at it. Like, okay, it's a fun little distraction. But other people are looking at it as a, in some cases, they're professional gamblers. This is their livelihood. So if there's a if a shot is missed at the last second in basketball, if a player strikes out in the bottom of the ninth inning, if a kicker slips or misses a kick, or a quarterback throws an interception at the last minute and somebody scores extra points, people are losing hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of dollars because of that. This is not just, oh, well, what an unfortunate thing to happen in the game, and you go on because, well, you have no stake in it. Today, people have stakes in these games, these fantasy leagues. And now, as I said before, now the legal betting on your phones with DraftKings and FanDuel and all these other betting apps. I mean, it's gotten to the point where the announcers for each sport are now saying, hey, you know, you can always bet on. I mean, the announcers are reminding you that you can bet. That's how much professional sports have gotten in bed with legal gambling. And so now that this scandal breaks, the hypocrisy is ridiculous. Forget about the hypocrisy of Shoeless Joe or Pete Rose, where these people were banned for life. And now, as I said, baseball, as an example, is in bed. I mean, I think there's a sports book involved with Wrigley Field. Okay? I mean, once again, I don't know because I haven't been there. I don't see it. I don't go to the sports book there. As I said, when I go to Vegas, I walk past the sports book. I walk through the blackjack tables. I go to the concert. I go to the restaurants. That's what I do in Vegas. But you say, oh, Jim, you're a wimp. Whatever. That's fine. You know, think what you will of me. But I'm not mad because some kicker missed a kick. I go, oh, that's a shame, and move on. But my point is that we've got now this legitimized relationship, supposedly, outwardly, with sports and gambling. But we all know, even though we don't want to admit it, it's a dirty little secret that it's still nefarious. There's still an illegal aspect that is tied to this. And that's what this scandal changed, was that not only did it put a expose that potentially the NBA, and as I said before, but other sports better be very aware that you could be next. So the spotlight is shining on the NBA right now, but that certainly doesn't completely leave out the Major League Baseball or soccer or boxing. I mean, all these sports we know they've been infiltrated by gamblers and organized crime because there's money to be made. People like to gamble. Las Vegas gambling. You want to go hunting, you go to Wisconsin. You want to rest, you go to New Orleans. This is Las Vegas gambling. Gambling, Las Vegas. Albert Brook fans will know that little reference. But anyway, so here we are now with this scandal that not only shines a light on professional sports and has to give a question, but now I think where we have adopted this new viewpoint that gambling is harmless, gambling is just a hobby, and it's not a vice anymore, and it's a part of our culture, and so we've come to accept it. But we also have to accept them. We can't just go, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. You got to hear. Because the fact is that it's still a prime area for illegal activity, especially for organized crime. What was, for me, I was not as shocked to know that Terry Rozier, the player on the Miami Heat, may have been involved in this, allegedly, or Chauncey Billups has been involved in both, not only potentially giving information, but potentially getting involved in these organized crime poker games, which now have been revealed that not only were they you know, rigged, but they were rigged to an amazing degree with machines that that shuffled cards a certain way or that read marked cards. I mean, this was high tech stuff. This is not just, oh, you got lucky here, or I'll fix the deck. No, this was high tech stuff that's going on. And these high rollers were getting into these games, and they knew that they were involved with a potentially nefarious group. And so, apparently, according to this indictment, where some players, like this Chauncey Billups, allegedly, would be in the game to give the game legitimacy. Like, well, hey, I mean, this can't, these guys can't be gangsters. These guys can't be criminals. I mean, look at this guy. This guy's an NBA coach. Would he be involved with these people? So having a high-profile person like that in the game legitimized the game to the other people who were not in the organized crime and not in on the rig, but who had money and who, of course, the people holding the game wanted to get their money from them. So they would pay, allegedly, Chauncey Billups to sit at the game and play. So the other players who were not involved in the rigging said, well, if there's a respected, high-profile guy playing this game, this can't be, it's got to be legit. I mean, if you remember in The Sopranos, same thing going on. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but if you remember, I remember an episode of The Sopranos where Frank Sinatra Jr. was playing in the game. Hey, there's Frank, you know. So I don't know, was he there to provide some legitimacy? But this is what where the real, to me, the real revelation came from. The night of the indictment, I was watching CNN. One of the few times that the people, I guess, watch CNN. I watch all the old news. I watch all the all news stations so I can get a good idea of what everybody's saying about a specific issue, not just one side. I watch them all. I watch Fox. I watch CNBC. I watch MSNBC. I watch Newsmax. I watch them all to get a full, you know, idea of what's going on and who's saying what and who's reporting what. As I said, that just goes to my objective kind of view from being a reporter. But anyway, so I'm watching Anderson Cooper, and he had a professional gambler on to show how what was going on, how this cheating was going on in these poker games. And it was fascinating. And Anderson Cooper, who clearly... compared to Anderson Cooper, I am Diamond Jim Brady. I'm Jimmy the Greek Snyder. I'm a riverboat gambler as opposed to when compared to Anderson Cooper, obviously, because Anderson Cooper looked like he never even heard about any kind of illegal gambling. He seemed completely oblivious to gambling of any way. He was like a little kid going, oh my God, well, wait. It was like seeing how a magic trick is done. And it was interesting the way this professional gambler, who I don't know what his background is, I don't know if he was in organized crime, I don't know what it is, but he knew every trick in the book as to how to cheat at poker or at any kind of gambling. And it was fascinating to see the technology that is happening today. We think about high tech and we go, oh, isn't this great? We hit a button and this happens and this button. Well, I got news for you. Organized crime is using high tech and cheaters are using high tech just as much as all the legitimate people are. This guy was showing how in a poker game, you can cheat, and how they were doing it. They had cell phones with cameras on the side. that could read, because of course the decks were marked. You couldn't see them. They were somehow, you know, marked with not just little markers with the people used to mark cards with, you know, markers to say, oh, there's three little. No, this is high tech stuff. He showed either contact lenses, not even sunglasses anymore. You see a lot of these people at these card, these poker tournaments are always wearing sunglasses and everything. Now, I don't know if they're, I mean, it's not because of cheating. They want people to see their eyes to give away any tells if they got a good or a bad hand. But so now, you know, sunglasses were banned, or glasses, you know, because they could have some kind of lenses that could see marked cards. So now they have contact lenses. And not only that, this guy had a, it looked like a BB. You know a BB and a BB gun? It was that small. It was a small little orb, this little BB, that was a micro, that was a speaker. And so if somebody else could see, is able to see the cards, they're telling this guy what the other people have, because he's got the contact lenses on that can see the marked cards. And so then he's telling the guy, and you literally drop this BB into your ear canal. It's not like a hearing aid where you could see it. It's visible. You say, hey, what's that going on there? Are you talking? Is there some shortwave thing going on? No. This is very smart and very sophisticated. It's the size of a BB. The guy drops it into his ear canal. So now it's impossible to see this thing. It's deep in your ear. So a pit boss or somebody at a casino, or if you're in a card game, it's impossible to see that unless you go in there like a doctor with that little light when you go for your physical and they look in your ears. But here's the best part, because I said, well, then how the hell do you get it out? And the guy just takes a magnet, and there it is. Puts a magnet next to his ear, and this little metallic orb comes out of his ear canal and shoots right back on the magnet. Done. It's not like this thing is stuck in his ear now forever. Takes a magnet, boom, it's gone. You don't even know. To see some of the cheating, he was showing all these shuffling cards, these shuffling machines work. He was showing how he could shuffle without really shuffling. He dealt cards and said, "I'm just so you know, this hand here is going to win." And he dealt the cards out, and sure enough, I felt almost as naive as Anderson Cooper. Not as much. I'm a little more savvy than he is. He looked like once again, he was watching a magician reveal how you do a levitation trick. So the level of cheating and the level of technology to use cheating has grown. We just think like, oh, technology has gotten so cool. And AI, isn't this great? We don't even know. The average person probably doesn't even know what's going on. As I've always said for years, when you look at the intelligence and the cleverness that some people, when you look at some of these bank heists or you know, something like this, or even some of these schemes, you know, these monetary schemes, and you go, this is ingenious. You know, the way they found a way to skirt around, the law, the way they've skirt around security things. And you like, and I always watch these, you know, these heist films, you hear about real heists, and you see this stuff about, potential cheating and gambling and stuff like this. And it's like, wow, the people that devise these things, you think, oh, well, you know, the average, gangster or criminal is not smart. You know, that's why they got into it, right? They didn't have any other choice. But no, there's some criminals who are brilliant to devise these schemes. If they took the intelligence and the cleverness and the ingenuity that they clearly have and able to skirt the law and able to get around security and able to break the law for that easy payday. It's not easy, but it's not working 8 hours a day. for 50 years. But if they took that same intelligence, that same ingenuity, that same creative vision, and applied it to something legitimate, there's no telling, I think, what they could do. But instead, they took that same intelligence, that same cleverness, that same ingenuity, that same creative vision, and they focused on how to break the law. And sadly, many of them, as intelligent as they are, many of them do get caught. And it's for that big payday. It's for that excitement. I'm not sure what it is. But when you see the extent and the complexity and the sophistication of this cheating, of this, of these criminal endeavors, you say, hey, no, that was brilliant. Yeah, this person's a criminal. Yeah, they broke the law. But at the same time, I have to hand it to them. It was brilliant to think of that. Just think if they took that same brilliance and focused it on doing something legitimate. But once again, the human being, we are flawed. We always look for the easy way. We don't want to put the time in. What do you think gambling is? Gambling is a quick fix. I could make $50,000 on one bet. I can't make that working at this job. That's what it is. It's the big payday. It's the quick fix. It's the easy way. It's never easy. I mean, recently here in Illinois, you know, we heard that our current governor, J.B. Pritzker, just won $1.4 million playing blackjack. And now, you know, he's a potential presidential candidate. He's a huge, Trump adversary right now. He's all in the news. He's on all the Sunday morning political shows. And suddenly, his taxes were filed. He was probably got an extension. That's why in October, if you get an extension from April, then you get another 6 months. So that's probably why we heard about it now. And so we find out that, reported a $1.4 million gambling win at blackjack. Now, he said he's going to donate the $1.4 million to charity. That's fine. He's a billionaire. But all I have to say is that's a big chunk of money. This guy, he said, well, I got it. He's trying to play it off. Well, you know, I got on a huge winning streak. It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't care what kind of winning streak you got on, Governor. To win $1.4 million, you got to be betting a heck of a lot of money, which he has. But he's not putting down $25 a hand at blackjack, okay? He's putting down thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. You don't make, I don't care how lucky you are. If you're playing blackjack, it takes time to accumulate that kind of money. He was betting big. And when he made this announcement at a press conference, and he's trying, oh, well, I got lucky and I like to play cards. And oh, but I'm reporting it and I'm donating it. Okay, that's fine. Right. If I was in that room, if I was a reporter, I would have raised my hand and I said, well, clearly you're a gambler. You just admitted you enjoy playing blackjack, so you are a gambler. Next question. What we always hear from gamblers is what? Oh, when they hit it big. Oh, I won $1,000. I won $10,000. I won $500. Oh, I won $40. Whatever level of gambler you are, we always hear about when they hit it big or when they won or they got in a winning streak. But if you're a regular gambler, the odds are, no pun intended, that you have lost much more than you have won. We never seem to hear from those same people how much they lost yesterday at the slot machines, how much they lost at the blackjack table, how much they lost at the roulette table, how much they lost at the crap table. No, we hear every so often, oh, I hit it big. I won $2,000 on a slot machine. Yeah. But you go every week and you probably spend $200 per visit, if not more. So to win $2,000 sounds like a lot, but you've probably lost $10,000. So you didn't win $2,000. You're still $8,000 in the hole. But we don't hear about that. So that's what I would have raised my hand. And believe me, if Pritzker becomes a presidential candidate, this will come up. His gambling, they will begin to dig a little deeper here. He's been governor for a couple of terms, and we didn't know that he was some big, you know, Diamond Jim Road, you know, Mississippi Riverboat blackjack player, did we? But suddenly we find out that J.B. Pritzker is a big blackjack player. I don't remember that being in any of his political commercials when he was running. But now we know it. So now all bets are off, no pun intended. If you won $1.4 million, then how much have you lost? Especially with a guy with his bankroll. He could write a check for $500 million and not even know he wrote it. So this is my point. We are accepting gambling now. Do you realize that 40 or 50 years ago, if J.B. Pritzker would have said, I won $1.4 million, he would be ostracized. He would be told to quit. Even if it was at a legal casino. The implications would be that this guy is a degenerate gambler. And we can't have him holding the reins of public money? What if he dips into it? I mean, that's the reality. And that's why I said before how we have just loosened our view as to on gambling. Like, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, whatever. Ha, 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 I got lucky. We've got our sports figures laughing off or getting in, you know, we've got sports figures, getting indicted now. And then we've got political figures who are laughing it off. We've got announcers on the sports games telling us which bets we can bet. Don't forget, bet this, bet that. We've got celebrities telling us to bet. Kevin Hart is, using it on some betting thing. Many other celebrities. It's amazing how gambling, once considered a very serious vice, once considered lethally illegal, has now become commonplace. We joke, we laugh. And here's the thing that I find most interesting. So now, as I said before, we know, we've always known, but now here's at least one example, that NBA games, one of the biggest professional, most popular professional sports in the world, was compromised. Now, to the extent of how much it was compromised, we don't know, but we know it was compromised, allegedly. But for the FBI to come out this strong with these charges and these indictments, you have to think there's something there. But at the very least, the indictments alone, the accusations alone, cast a shadow. We can agree on that. Whether these are proven to be true or false, we still have to see. Due process. I get it. But at the very least, the accusations, at least we have to admit, put a cloud on the legitimacy of an NBA basketball game on any given night. And as I said, then if that's happening in basketball, who's to say it's not happening in football? Who's to say it's not happening in soccer? Who's to say it's not happening in baseball? Who's to say it's not happening in boxing or in the martial arts boxing, all that stuff in the with the punching and the, I don't even know what they call that. Who knows? So all sports now, whether they've been officially accused of it or not, there's suspicion. If it happens in one, why wouldn't it happen in another? And as I said, not only that, but because now all professional sports are happily in bed with legal gambling and gambling, well, You just have to. And this was not hard to predict. As gambling, as the stigma against gambling was lessened and lessened over the last 30 or 40 years, this is what happens. And it's been happening. And I guarantee you're going to hear more of it now. Because as I said before, there's more at stake. More people are gambling. It's too easy not to. If you're into gambling, my God, it's just like putting a post up on Facebook now. It's like buying, some toner on, printer toner on Amazon. Three, boom, 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 and I just spent $100. Oh, I could win, and my first 500 is free and all this stuff, and it's like, wow. That's why it's called gambling, right? There are no sure things. But we're always looking for the sure thing. So this is my point. At the ultimate end of this whole discussion about this gambling, yes. You know what? This is a major investigation. It shines light that not only on professional sports, but even though the fact is that as much as in the last 20 years or 30 years, organized crime has sort of taken a more low-key approach. We don't see the Teflon Don anymore, the John Gottis who were in the paper walking around flaunting the organized crime bosses. I mean, what was most revealing to me is when they were making these indictments, they were mentioning these evergreen names of New York organized crime families that right out of The Godfather. These were some of the main organized crime organizations, families, if you will, that have been around for hundreds of years or decades at least. And they're still doing it. Everybody acts like, oh, well, you know, there's not really a lot of organized crime anymore. Well, this shows you it is alive and well. It may have gone much more underground. In fact, if anything, I'm sure organized crime was very happy when legalized gambling became, you think, oh, it's going to cut into their profits. No, no, no. By legalizing gambling, by having celebrities doing commercials for gambling sites, all that did was provide cover for organized crime to say, now everybody's going to be watching all that. No one's going to be paying attention to us. And meanwhile, reportedly, from some of these rigged poker games, they made like $7 million in these operations, allegedly. But my point is, organized crime has not gone away. When you read some of the stories about this gambling thing, you hear that some of the, it's just like The Sopranos again. There's peoples with all the nicknames like, you know, Creepy and Slappy Sam and all that. It's not changed. We want to keep a blind eye to it. We think it's gone. It's faded. That was from another day. No, it's still around, and it's using high tech things to cheat as it ever did. But here's my point. So now we know that professional sports, there's a question about legitimacy of every sport, not just the NBA. This one's about the NBA, but there could certainly be another one about the NFL or Major League Baseball or hockey. We don't know. But if it happens to one, it puts suspicions on all. So all professional sports better be alert to this, that there's a question. And now what we've learned is that organized crime has not gone away. It sounds like it's flourishing more than ever. We might not see the murders on front page news, we might not hear about the Big Tuna this or Tommy the Lip that. Used to be such a part of Chicago culture here. Clearly, organized crime has, once again, intelligently gone underground. Not flaunted it. But there's no question, this investigation shows it's alive and well. So here's the thing. Here's the bigger picture thing to this. We know that sports has a question now about legitimacy. At the very least, we know that there's some intermingling between professional sports and professional gambling. We know that. That's what this scandal and these indictments are showing. And right now, it's shining on the NBA, but it could shine on any other professional sport. And we also know that organized crime, despite its low-key persona in the last 25 years, is still around and still doing what it does. We might not be aware of it. We might hold a blind eye to it, but it's happening. But here's the thing. I guarantee you, whether you know a basketball game or a baseball game or a football game, there's a potential now. At least the question has to come up if you're betting these. Is this legit? Even though there's a question mark. It might not have been proven yet, but it's hovering. There's suspicion. There's enough. Just the suspicion of it where you might think twice to say, well, is this fixed? Or if you know now that there's a big ring of these poker games or these illegal activities going on that are fixed, that you think you're into something that's fair, and you're being completely cheated. Even though now it's just accusations. But certainly for the government to come out this strong, they must feel pretty confident. We'll see what happens. But my point is, because gambling seems to be such a part of our DNA, whether it was acquired or whether it was there at the beginning, as I said, I think that the cavemen were taking bets. It's such a part of our DNA and so many of these vices that we all talked about and I talked about earlier, that even though there's suspicion about legitimacy of any kind of gambling now, even all types of gambling have to be questioned, even though they always were questioned, but we never wanted to admit it, at least in our minds, because we want to think that we could win and beat the system. Everybody's got a system. Everybody's going to win. We know going in that this is already a losing proposition, but we think we're going to do better. We've got our good luck, dolls and our superstitions, and I don't bet on this, and I do that, 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 that. We've got all these things. And that's what Las Vegas and any kind of gambling institution is counting on. You're walking in there thinking you're going to beat them. And as I said before, when you see the multi-billion-dollar hotels being built in Vegas, that's your money that built them. That's not the bank's money. But here's my point. I guarantee you, this scandal, whether the people involved will be found guilty or not, regardless, the suspicion was thrown out there. This scandal made headlines, no question. It brought up some questions about legitimacy and gambling and cheating and everything like that. But I guarantee you, with time, this will be forgotten, and it will not change people's behavior whatsoever. And gambling will continue. No matter how you even might even have some concrete evidence now that what you're betting on is not legit. And so your chances of losing are much higher than you winning. I guarantee you people will still continue to bet. They've been continuing to bet this last week, and they will continue to bet on things because, well, it's not going to happen to me. And so that's what I think is most interesting. I'm watching this whole gambling scandal, as I said, from the outside looking in. I'm not involved in any of it. I'm not a gambler. I don't have any accounts on anything. I'm strictly an observer. And so I think I do have some say, well, if you're not a gambler, you don't know. No, I think by not being a gambler, by observing this, I can actually see the realities of the situation. And I know people that are very serious gamblers. And I know that they may, for 5 minutes, take a step back and go, oh, wow. I mean, you know, I bet on these NBA games all the time. You think that, and you know what? I don't know. I don't dig into people's, you know, personal things like that. But I guarantee you, if any gambler took a moment of clarity to say, wow, maybe I'm getting ripped off here. I guarantee you 15 minutes later, there were some odds on something that looked too good to pass up. At the end of the day, it's a gamble. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 493. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears. Snake Eyes.